In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Sort of. I mean, not everybody has the luxury of getting the fourth off, but of course many of us do. I do as well, but I'm here on the third. And maybe you're working today. Much respect to anybody working today, as you would guess if you follow along our... show, storylines. These kinds of days are not usually well attended here at Radio City, but cool to see a few people. Zach, thanks for coming in. Saw Lisa. There's Brayton. You know, somebody's got to keep this thing plugged in. So that's where we're at. Friday will be even better. Because Friday
is... Oh, Friday.
What is the deal? What do you do with Friday? What do you do with July 5th on a Friday? It's like Thanksgiving Friday, only maybe... more tempting or more common that people would figure out ways to not go in?
Well, yeah, because like Thanksgiving, you got like it's cold outside. I'll go into work. July 5th, you're staring at the beach. You can see the beach day coming up.
July 5th. Well, we'll get through July 3rd here together. Thanks for being along. I've got Brett Boone today. Paul Hamilton before that, as Zach just mentioned, he'll join me to talk about the Sabres a little bit more. I've talked to Paul each of the last 2 days. I feel like July 1st is, it's big in the NHL. The Sabres did some things. I've talked a lot here the last couple of days about how it's sort of a sad day, a little bit of a funereal kind of vibe with the Sabres on July 1st, but they did sign a few players. And then yesterday, I want to sort of pull away from it. But there were a few more moves, and there is some more speculation. By the third today, even though Paul is coming up, even though Bill's camp is, I think, exactly 3 weeks away, I'm moving on. Like I just if the of all teams too, like if the Sabres make a significant move between now and mid September, hey, I'll be impressed, and we'll be on it. But I'm just not gonna, at home by myself or in here with you, spend too much energy, on like that possibility. If they do, they do. I'm glad they have development camp. I'm glad that there is this still is this possibility. However likely you think it might be that they'll do something else. It's something Paul and I will talk about again here today. But even though there is no football yet, I'm so ready for it. I'm ready. I'm excited for the Olympics. I'll watch some more of the soccer, probably. My complaint about hockey when it comes to the changing seasons is that when it gets to be June, when it gets to be hot out, I want it to be over. And that's kind of how it goes in general for sports on TV with me when it gets to be summer. I'll watch the British Open, the Open Championship, in a couple of weeks. I like that that's on in the morning, so I'll watch that. And the Olympics, I love the Olympics, but... really July is time for a break. And, you know, when it comes to us hosting this show, you're listening, I want to make sure we keep it sort of into the areas where most of you, I think, are interested. And that is the Bills. That's the Sabres, too. But that is the Bills, even if they're not on the practice field. What's the difference talking about the Bills on July 3rd than August 3rd? I mean, maybe there's a preseason game that's coming up, and we could talk about who plays. There's a practice that the media will get to watch 5 minutes of, but otherwise it's kind of the same thing. And I'm excited about it. I'm going to save it for a couple of hours, but I've got a Bills, project, I guess, or something. I've got a Bills feature coming up, but I'm going to save it until 5 because I'm not quite ready. It still needs a little polishing. I'm a little behind schedule today. It still needs a little work. So that's coming up. If you want to talk about any of the things that sort of we lean into when it comes to the Bills, I'd love that. And the Sabres, too. Bulldog is still away. 803-0550 is the number. I told you I've got Paul coming up at 3:30, so I've got a little bit of a window here if there's something on your mind. I mean, the Sabres apply because we've had these 2 days, or even going back to last week with the draft on the weekend, trying to predict what they'll do or what they won't do. I'm fine if that's where you want to take me. And the schedule, too, if that's something that's interesting. I did see one note from one of our maybe the most popular, or he gets referenced on the show a lot, Micah Blake McCurdy, who does a lot of analytics work in hockey, just point out that the Sabres don't play on a Sunday until mid-December. I think it's in Toronto, December 15th, which is a little bit of a quirk. But I'm not sure how much there really is to say about the schedule. I do think what we've got in the Bills is a moment here, a summer, where they're being questioned. And that hasn't happened like this in a few years. When I talked to Sal Capaccio on Monday, I brought this up. I mean, we've talked about it here and there, but do you think this is a situation? We have a situation here this summer where people are doubting them. And he basically said, yes, totally. I mean, absolutely yes. And I wonder, as we get closer to the season, this will be more in the discourse, but is that something that you think is true? Is that something that you think is fair? And I would say yes to the second part, and probably also the first. I mean, maybe Sal and maybe other people are paying closer attention to what analysts are saying about the Bills, the season, the division, all of that, than I am. But I'm paying some attention mostly through the people we bring on the show all the time. And there are more questions about their roster. You know, yesterday's guest, Mike Giardi, was not so much like that. You know, just you have Allen and you'll probably be okay. Just how they'll be different is interesting. But are they vulnerable? That is, I think, the question about the Bills. And it's a little bit of a thing with Allen where you kind of want to have it both ways. Like some of the conversation about him has been to take less on his plate, right? Not ask him to do as much, whether that's running the ball more, whether that's, you know, how you play defense, easy sort of cheat code kind of schemes. So you've got, whether it's Kincaid or Diggs or whatever, you know, just sort of easy throws, and, you know, running him less, certain ways to make his life easier, ask less of him. Talking to Mike yesterday, I was thinking about how he was laying out no Diggs, of course, no Davis. The losses on defense might make it more important that the Bills really score this year. I mean, they've been great offensively, but they've been great defensively, and I don't know, like they have their departures too, and maybe that's also likely to take somewhat of a step back. All of that put together, it's not about having less on his plate, it's kind of more on his plate now with those changes. Unless Curtis Samuel or Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, all of that adds up to an offense where it's actually just easier for him. And I just doubt it, honestly. I really doubt it. I think what Diggs provided, among other things, what he meant for Allen and for the Bills was not exactly or literally whenever you needed it, but just, I mean, a guy who could get open, could separate against anybody. Here's 12 yards. Here's 15. Here's 8 on a 3rd and 4. And, you know, last couple of years, that went away, you know, to an extent as the season dragged on. But so many times, Diggs was there for Allen. You could say to bail him out. I don't think I would say that. But just to keep the offense humming. And I'd be really impressed and largely surprised if they have anybody who can do that. And, you know, we're not really talking like, or the Bills are not going to be talking like they do. They're going to be talking like they don't need that. That's how teams do it. I read an article, Doug Farrar was tweeting today about the Packers and Jordan Love. And Jordan Love was quoted as saying how spreading the ball around without a clear-cut number one receiver, the Packers have a nice assortment of young receivers who are all kind of like in fantasy. We have a tough time sort of putting it into a pecking order, whether it's Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Wicks, Bo Melton, the tight ends, Dobbs. You have 6 to 8 guys who are pretty comparable, and sorting them is tough. So without a clear, like a Diggs type, the way Diggs dominated target share in Buffalo, well, what do you think? What do the Packers say about that? And Jordan Love was like, well, spreading the ball around is better because you can put guys into better, you know, more advantageous situations and the defense doesn't know where you're going and all of this. I think everybody says what they have is better. If you have Diggs like the Bills have for 4 years, I mean, they're not gonna Allen or Sean McDermott, whoever, they're not going to put down the other receiving targets on the team, but they're gonna talk about, as they have, the importance and the value of Diggs. And, you know, that's been said over and over, and it's been proven with them. But now you don't have that. And so I think this year, this summer, it's gonna be, well, this is actually better, having this variety, having chances for players to emerge, all the different ways Allen and others would put it to tell you that like they're not any worse off. And I really am not sure about that. I think Green Bay is fine. I think Green Bay, by comparison, has some very exciting talent. And the fact that they're all so young, like nobody's more than 3 years in the league. I think Dobbs or Watson are like the oldest guys, most experienced guys they have at least. That is great. When this offseason started and Diggs was still here, my, you know, wish for the Bills was to be the Packers. That's drafting two receivers probably and maybe signing someone else or trading someone else young. So you, and you know, Shakir added into that and Kincaid added into that, both young players, then you might have something that looks like that. And, you know, Diggs was traded, but they really don't. What they have is the scratch and dent receiver room. Even Samuel, even Coleman in his way for how he was treated or talked about as a prospect. So I think questioning where they're at is fair. And I think, and this is really sort of unsettling to me, but the Dolphins, but also the Jets do represent a real threat. And for me, it's much more the Jets than the Dolphins. And I think I'm in a slight minority when it comes to that. Yesterday, I think around 5:30 it was, I brought up having sort of been caught listening to a national radio show that was talking up the Jets and pointing out how, you know, PFF ranks their defensive units highly, and Rodgers being the player he is, and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. And I was thinking about Rodgers when I heard that, I told you, and just where he ranks in the league. Like, I don't buy that he is a top five quarterback at this point in time, but he might be. It's really hard to know what he's going to look like on the field. And I saw today with the Jets, so PFF, it was PFF, I think, ranked their defensive line unit, linebacker unit, and defensive backs unit as number one in the league. All of them. Like, each separately. At the number one of those position groups in the entire NFL. And I think it's interesting to ponder what that will mean. You know, because quarterback league, and we've had this, not every time or every year, but we've had this run, this, we're in this sort of period where we kind of, not everybody would do this, but I would, I have, rank defense as a level or levels below offense in terms of importance. But if you have the best of everything, what is that going to mean for games? Shouldn't, even in 2024, shouldn't a defense that's elite at every position, not every player, but like this, defensive line, linebacker, DBs, I mean, really affect games significantly? And then it becomes, if that happens, like if the Jets' defense is just awesome, then it comes down to whether Rodgers can just sort of keep it together. And I would think that he's probably going to be able to do that. So even though the Jets have literally the longest active playoff drought in the league, and we've kind of, for most of our lives, just not had to sort of worry about them. I mean, there was the late 90s, the 60s, but really, like, the Jets have almost never been really good. I think that that is, that's where I'm leaning this year. That doesn't mean, I don't mean that, I wouldn't ever say this with any certainty, like that the Bills will not win the division because of that. My pick would be the Jets, though. Like, the Bills are probably a good team too. Maybe Miami is too. But I think they're in a great spot if Rodgers isn't just Looney Tunes, you know, and 40. That part is not subjective, his age and coming off that injury. So that, I think, is worth respecting. Miami, this is interesting to me too, because I don't hear this a lot, but I am just not worried. I'm just not worried about the Dolphins. And I like McDaniel, I think, as much as anybody. But I kind of feel like last year it wore out. And it's not just because of weather. You know, not all their relative struggles in the second half were because it was cold in Kansas City in the playoffs, or because it was, you know, cold somewhere else. Like, home games too, they were not the same team. And that is kind of how I'm looking at them. Plus, they've had some big losses with Wilkins and in free agency. And the Tua situation, I don't know where that ends up, but it's not great that at this point anyway, they're approaching the season without any certainty when it comes to him. Is he willing to play for less than maybe the top 10 quarterback dollars in the NFL? Or does he insist on being the next guy to come up on top of the quarterback list? I don't know. I think even Tyreek Hill, we have Diggs, we've had Diggs here, and as he got older, it was always to me worth bringing up that eventually there's an age cliff when it comes to him, and some would tell you that he reached it last year. His numbers definitely declined. I think that was more scheme than his, you know, suddenly getting older, but we'll see what happens to him in Houston. But Tyreek Hill is, you know, not huge and older himself, and not somebody with how injuries happen to players and they sort of hit that wall. He's not somebody I'm just putting all my chips on anymore or this year because of just like that possibility. 803-0550 if you want to join me. We've got Paul coming up, Brett Boone too, and some other fun things planned throughout the day. Zach is with us now. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Mike. Nice talking to you here. Mm-hmm. So this upcoming season is so fascinating to me in the sense there's like so many aspects, because it's kind of, the way I see it is, it's going to kind of lay the groundwork, or could at least lay the groundwork for what we're about to see for the next, I don't know, I mean, the remainder of the McDermott era, or we'll just say the next three seasons to follow, because, you know, they didn't make any sort of big swing receiver signing. They could have. I mean, I know they didn't have a ton of money, but, you know, if they wanted to, they could have figured out a way to do it. And they, you know, didn't do that. They didn't move up in the draft to get one of those top names. They just, you know, moved back and stuck in the second round. So I'm curious, like, you know, if it goes well with this kind of receiver by committee approach, if you will, for lack of a better phrase here. I'm curious to see if that's something they're going to want to stick with going forward and, you know, further spend that large chunk of money they're going to have next year. Maybe not so much on a number one receiver and kind of spread it around a little bit more. Another thing I'm curious is the running game, how much they're going to go back to that. You know, I know you've talked about this a bit on the show over the last probably 4 or 5 months. You know, they had so much success in the running game down the stretch there.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd almost be silly to not use that again. But in my mind, I'm also like, I don't really want them to rely on that as much as they did, just because I don't think that's a winning solution. You know, I think it worked for them there. I don't know that it would continue to work further down the road, unless, you know, you could get James Cook also involved successfully in the passing game, maybe going forward a little bit. But I just think it's such like a trial year, you know, not in the sense where they're not going to make the playoffs or anything. Who knows what will happen? But I think it's really a turning point, in my opinion, for the team going forward.
Yeah. Well, I wonder about that all the time. Yesterday's guest agreed with this, but Bulldog has disagreed with it. Other people have. I think they're going to want to be, it's going to be a continuation of last season because it worked and because of how the roster has changed. You take Diggs off the team and Davis and you replace them with Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman. I mean, I think that it's sort of logical that you would want to be less reliant on your receivers. So that is what I'm expecting. I mean, I think Cook will be really interesting because I've always had a tough time accepting him as not a bell cow. He's never been that, but like full time, the way they've had other players take part of his workload at the position with Murray last year for one. And this year, this is one of many sort of independent things about them that I think are up in the air in terms of how we're going to predict it. Because they did not sign any one of these veteran running backs, especially the big dollar guys. There were several this year. That doesn't surprise me. But really, like anybody sort of on a lower price point to come in and be a compliment to him, what they did was draft Ray Davis in round 4. And if they'd had, say, Murray a year ago is on this team, and you make that draft pick, I mean, that's a bubble guy. But this year, it's like almost they need to be counting on him, a rookie, in the 4th round. That doesn't get talked about very much, but I think that's probably what it is with Ty Johnson in the fold too, but really no one else. And Davis is somebody, so I think they're probably planning on him having a role, and he's somebody that might be really good all around. I mean, he caught the ball in college too. He's somebody that I think might be talented enough to do that. He's got to be able to pass block as a rookie. Like, you're just going to have to do that to be able to be on the field. But Cook has not always been like just super reliable in these different ways. Drop the ball. So that is just like, just that alone, the running back thing is pretty hard for me to figure out what it's going to be. Cook was 4th in the league in rushing, and maybe it's just as simple as, you know, he's going to play 75% of the snaps and just sort of leave it at that. And Davis and or Johnson will be compliments to him. But I don't know. And I think it's another interesting question, what they are most likely to do at receiver next offseason. Probably that depends a lot on how this season goes. Thanks, Zach. Paul Hamilton coming up. We'll hit on the Sabres some, what hasn't been asked here and talked about in the last couple of days. Some different players speaking with the media today. Development camp continued and will be also in play tomorrow, I believe, tomorrow morning. So we'll have Paul and Brett Boone will join me today, first Wednesday of each month to talk baseball. Great time to talk baseball with 4th tomorrow, where you have games going on all day. That's how we know the 3rd was not really Independence Day, because there was no afternoon baseball today. If there were, that would tell you something. Paul, after the break, thanks for being with me. Happy 4th in advance. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton go to each other and the whiskey. Ooh. Right into it.
We have a fight.
With Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and a misconduct.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Mike Shope here. Bulldog will be back with me on Monday. Hopefully still enjoying his overseas vacation. I have no doubt that he is. Paul Hamilton joins me now on the West Shore Hotline for the third day in a row as we talk about Bulldog being in Spain and just how awesome that probably is, and some hockey. And Paul, I enjoyed reading your write-up on Dennis Gilbert. Today's edition of How Old Are We is marked by how Gilbert's favorite player growing up was Brian Campbell. Mine too.
You know who I had a really good conversation with today was their third round pick in 2021, Russian Steven Sardarian. He is a player who...
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Decided to go the college route. You don't see that very often. And something I'll probably write next week, but it was really interesting. And his English is great, but just to hear his story, why did he choose college out of nowhere? And he wanted to go to New Hampshire, and they suggested he go play in the USHL first so he can learn English. Because think about it. I mean, can you imagine not only coming to the U.S. to play hockey, but to go to school – and you really don't know the language, and you're going to go to college? You know, I can't even think of going to a foreign country and not knowing the language and going to college at the same time while I'm playing hockey. And he said he's really glad he went to Youngstown Phantoms and learned the language. He's really enjoyed classes and everything. He's trying to transfer right now after 2 years with New Hampshire. Was going to go to Northern Michigan, and the coaches left. He committed and then decommitted, so he said he's hoping in the next week or two to have another school to go to. But it was really, I'm looking forward to writing it. And his English is great, and he seems like a really good kid, a Russian kid who decided to come play hockey and go to school. I thought that was really cool.
Hey, I'm impressed if his English is great and he learned it in the East Coast Hockey League.
The USHL.
Oh, USHL. Well, all right, big difference.
Yeah, big difference. It's a junior league.
I don't know if you know this. I got to play golf with Alexander McGillney like a month after he arrived in the United States through Mrs. Knox. She was a family friend and invited me and another youngster to play with herself and Alex. And he was like brand new. And I'm thinking of this because you're talking about a Russian young player who didn't really know the language. And I remember thinking, I've told this story many times. Like the takeaway I had like early that day was, McGillney's English really only comes from hockey locker rooms. Like every other word was a swear word. You know, you knew he was not exactly, and I knew the story, so it wasn't like I expected him to speak perfect English. But like, yeah, this is a guy who's learning English through hockey players. You know, sorry to stereotype, but
Max Afinogetov was great. Wouldn't always know English when media came up, unless you were in a bar somewhere.
Yeah.
And he was working it in a bar. All of a sudden, his English got really good.
Yeah, then he would recite Dickens for you. Yep.
It was so funny. But a media guy walked up, not no English.
No English. Not today, buddy. Well, back to Gilbert, Paul. It's a cool story. Grew up watching the Sabres. Talks about, you know, those great teams, 05, 06, 06, 07. He's talking about, as you wrote, getting off from school for playoff games, you know, in those years. It's a long time ago. I read what he said. You know, he's talking about learning from different former players like Campbell and Matt Ellis, Kevin Adams, you know, being around the league. But it's like he sort of put Ruff in a different category as someone, you know, he was just a kid watching when he was coaching the team. That's how it seemed to me.
And you remember Tuck was saying the same thing.
Yes.
You know, before Lindy was hired, that, yeah, Lindy Ruff was a coach when I was a kid and was a Sabre fan and everything. And that was back. You know what else he talked about, which is pretty cool? He said when he was 16, 17, as you know, the players skate here in the summertime, and they could be from any different team. It's not necessarily all Sabres. He said that he was allowed to, you know, they invited him to come out at 16, 17 years old, and he's skating against NHL guys. And he goes, you're really nervous, and, you know, maybe you're not up where they are. But he goes, I learned so much, you know, just being out there in the summertime with those guys and them allowing him to be out there. And he said it was really kind of cool to be out there with, you know, the Sabres. I don't know if Brian Campbell was out for that. Possibly he was. I would have to look back. But he said that was really cool, too, to be over at Harbor Center skating with guys like that. And he said a lot of people helped him train, like Brian Campbell and Matt Ellis and Kevin Adams, who was, remember, in charge of the Hockey Academy back then over there. So he has a lot of fine memories on and off the ice, even being a kid.
I'm guessing he would have known Lindy Ruff through his family.
I would think so, yeah, because Mike Gilbert was, you know, handled the media back then, his uncle. So I would think absolutely that he would have met Lindy Ruff.
What is his significance, as you see it, to the Sabres here, this move?
He's different than other than Clifton. You know, he brings area to the defense. And I agree with him. He's very difficult to play against. It's brought up fighting. I don't mind the occasional fight. I hate the stage. I'm not looking for fighters. I'm looking for guys that are hard to play against, that the other team knows they've been in a hockey game by the end of the night, guys that go and win battles. And that's him. That's the way he plays. And the Sabres don't have a lot of guys like that on defense. As I said, maybe Clifton might be the only one. And I don't see he or Bryson breaking into the top six. They probably will both be here. They'll probably keep two extra and one extra forward. Unless somebody gets injured. But that gives Lindy Ruff, you know, all right, if he has an injury or if the team's not playing well or one of his six isn't playing well. It's like, well, what do we need? Do we need a puck-moving guy like Bryce Bryson, or we need a little bite like Gilbert? And he would have two completely different options that he could put in that way. And I think it's good to get a defenseman like that. And it's a guy that just recently is starting to play more regularly in the NHL. He talked about a couple of years ago that Daryl Sutter was the one that finally got him going on the right path with the Calgary Flames. And, you know, it's where he can play a few more games in the NHL because he was playing more games in the AHL than NHL. But he's 27 years old. And I remember he had a great game, not only because he scored a goal, he might have had an assist also in that game with the Calgary Flames, but I thought he was one of their better players that day. I thought he played very well when the Flames went over the Sabres here.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. I'm Mike Shope. It's July 3rd, July 1st, the start of free agency. I'm not sure if I asked you this yesterday, but I know I asked you about the whole idea of players wanting to play here. There's also this that I spent some time on yesterday, Paul, and just whether or not you think or anybody thinks Kevin Adams right now thinks like he's all set with this roster. It is how he was talking. That's not necessarily meaningful because you always would expect someone in his position to talk about how good he feels about what's happened, you know? But so many of us, and you included, have been, you know, if this isn't the word, pining for this one more move. Like, have they stopped short here? Do you think Adams thinks he has, that he really needs something else? Or do you think maybe he really means it when he says, you know, he talks up what's happened already, a much better team, he said on Monday. How do you feel about what you think he really feels?
I actually do think they're a much better team, but I don't think they're good enough. You know, and so they've improved, but only in one area. And the area in the top six, they did not improve. And I do think he believes that they still need a top six guy, but I think he also might be coming to the realization that that may not materialize, whether he feels that teams just aren't going to let it go, or, you know, unrestricted free agents weren't interested in coming here which is true. But as I've said before, he's the general manager. It's up to him to find a way to be able to do that. Right now, one of your top six forwards is either going to be Zucker, Benson, or Greenway. Now, Benson maybe would take the next step. Maybe he's ready. Maybe Savoy's ready. But it's all ifs. There's too many ifs in all these equations. Well, if Kulik's ready, or if Kulik has a good training camp, or if Savoy has a good training camp, or if Benson improves, or if Tuck and Thompson get back to where they were, if Cousins, everything's if. And when there's so many ifs like that, I think you're really in a dangerous mode, staking your reputation on it. And, you know, as I said, maybe Benson will take the next step and he'd be a very good top six guy. Maybe Kulik will come into camp and really catch fire and look like the guy that I think he will be eventually and be able to step into that role. But I don't know. If I'm a general manager, I'm not going to put my job on the line about it. But he may have no choice. But no, I don't think he thinks they're all set. But it's the way he's talking, I think he thinks they might not be able to get the guy they're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, you. It's funny. Like we'd all want to think he thinks the way we do. this is how I see it, and hopefully he sees it the way I see it. But yeah, that's you. Definitely answered the question. He's got maybe he means it when he says they're better. You agree? But either it really comes down to whether he thinks he can do anything else. That's where you're at.
Yeah, and I personally think. If you ask me, I think Thompson's closer to 2 years ago than he is the 31. I think if he's healthy a whole year, I think he's more of a 47 goal scorer. That's how I feel. But if I was the GM, I wouldn't put my job on it. I can't guarantee that. Nobody can. I could be totally wrong, and maybe he is really the 31 goal scorer that he was, or 35, which isn't bad. I mean, sure, they would take a 35 goal scorer. But right now, with what they've got, they're depending on him getting back to where he was. They're depending on Tuck to getting back to where he was. And they're depending on Cousins to getting back to where he was. And they're depending on Quinn not getting hurt and becoming a 30-goal scorer, which I absolutely think he can do if he doesn't get hurt. But if. And ifs, I don't know. Maybe they'll translate to wins, and maybe they won't. Who knows?
Paul Hamilton with me here on WGR. Zemgus Girgensons leaves for Tampa, said his goodbyes on an Instagram post. That's how we do it these days. How did that look for you with Girgensons? I'm thinking about last year with his being resigned. I mean, I want to respect the guy for some of the things he got beat up for. You know, like Kevin Adams got kind of defensive about how Girgensons was portrayed, how badly he wanted to win and competed and these kinds of things. He even played kind of a cool role with Thompson late in the season, an interesting winger for him. But, I mean, the way, whether he deserved this or not, the way he came to represent all these losing seasons, Paul, I mean, did they get better replacing him? Or do you think maybe the reasons for being, you know, feeling good about it might be more symbolic?
He could have fit in with any one of those three guys that they signed. I don't think it was fair what he had to go through, but I understand it. I understand it from Kevin Adams' standpoint, and I understand it from the fans' standpoint. 13 years he hadn't been in the playoffs. He was a part of it for, what, 10, I believe? And it almost was like he was the face of it. Is that fair? No, it's not. Especially since he gave it his all, and there were so few guys that would go to the net. He would. There were so few guys that would compete in the corners, and you knew what you were getting from him. He would. He would do everything that we're asking these other guys to do, but unfortunately, since he was here for 10 years, he became the face of the drought. And I think he understood that. Plus, Tampa Bay offered him a 3-year contract, and I can almost guarantee you that Buffalo didn't. I think they would have been foolish to anyway. I mean, if you're going to bring him back, you bring him back on a 1-year deal.
And they did make an offer, Adam said.
They did, and I bet you, I don't know it as fact, but I bet you it was a 1-year deal. So I understand it from both ends. I understand why Kevin Adams is so frustrated, because it's like, well, what do we need? We need Zemgus Girgensons type players, and then we're going to get rid of them. But I also understand what the fans are thinking, too.
Do you think, Adams was moved by the criticism when there was a press conference late in the season. Maybe it was when he had just traded Oposo, and he was asked about Gergensen's, and he was kind of choked up, and how they've talked about, this is what I think Bulldog kind of lashed back at that day, is he talked about getting a new deal done with him. They've already started that process, and there, I don't know how much of it he heard, but I think he heard us. Like, there was some incredulity to that, and I wonder if that moved Adams.
In what way? I don't guarantee he heard it.
No, I don't mean moved emotionally, but that he came away from that whole back and forth thinking that maybe this wasn't the right idea. That maybe he was wrong to want Gergensen's back at all.
I don't think he was wrong, but it might have made him understand a little bit more where fans are coming from.
Yeah.
You know? And as I said, it's one of those situations where I wouldn't even take a side, because I totally understand where fans are coming from, and I totally understand where Adams is coming from. But I've said that in past. Yeah, I remember when Larson was around and all those guys, and I'm saying, you know, it's just time, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many guys that have been around for too much of this, and it gets on your nerves if you're a player. Don't think it didn't affect Zemgus Gergensen's to lose all the time and lose badly and have fans turn on you and because of the losing. And then you got to stand there after a game and talk about that some of your teammates didn't compete. And that gets to you when you're Zemgus Gergensen's, because he wants to win badly, but he can't do it by himself. And, you know, I guess I kind of thought he hung in there longer than I thought he would have. But, he did, and then it just got to a point, as I said, he wound up with a 3-year deal with Tampa, and Buffalo just wasn't going to go there.
Well, fans that are not in a good place are all saying this, you know, a lot of them are saying the same thing. Like, which one of these guys that left this year will win next year's Stanley Cup? And, you know, I don't think Tampa will be the favorite, but they've won a lot. Skinner in Edmonton, Mittelstadt in Colorado. I'm sure you'll have a good time with those quips.
Especially with Stamkos going, I kind of thought Tampa was on the decline before that.
Yep.
And now that he's not there, I mean, if you're looking for a team for Buffalo to catch, that might be my first thought, you know, is maybe Tampa's the team you're looking for. But you got to improve from where you are, that's for sure. You're not going to catch them the way you're playing now. And I think they've done a lot to be better. But I will just keep repeating myself in case somebody tunes in and thinks I'm shilling for the Buffalo Sabres. I'm not. They still, in my opinion, the job is not done.
Paul, you big fireworks guy.
I enjoy fireworks, but I've been, you know, with the condensed schedule, I've been so busy. They asked me earlier. Zach asked me earlier, I think it was. It's like just fourth. I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I still have. We have still have Zooms coming up in a few minutes here, and I got to write those up. And then we've got, the 3-on-3 tomorrow on July 4th. Then I got to write all that up. And then when that's done, I'll see where I'm at.
Yeah.
Say, are there fireworks somewhere? Or is there something I can do, or should I just collapse in a chair?
I know, right?
And I'm not complaining. Believe me, I love covering hockey, because on Friday it's all over until mid-September. So I'm not at all complaining. I love hockey. I love being busy like this. But as far as knowing what I'm going to do for fireworks, don't have a clue.
It's open to the public tomorrow morning?
It is, yes.
9:15, did I see?
9:15, they'll take the ice for warm-up. And it's not like they'll leave the ice then. They'll take the ice, warm-up, and get ready to roll.
And the first-round pick is here. Are all the draft picks here? Not all the prospects are here.
Not all the prospects. They cut that down. They don't need – this is like an orientation. They don't need to be here. All the picks they just made, a lot of the picks from last year, not Benson, not Wahlberg, but after that, a lot of picks from last year are here. Topias Lehtinen, the goaltender, I had a chance to chat with him today. He was the second-round pick, has been hurt a lot. Nuchev from that draft in 2022, Richard from 2022, Carlson, they're here. So it's just basically guys from the last three drafts.
Okay, well, I'm off tomorrow, and assuming, well, maybe there will be a move, but as it goes dark here for the Sabres coming up, as you put it, I don't know, we'll just have to call you to talk about the Olympics or something over the next couple of months. We'll have to get some takes, Paul takes. That'd be all right.
the Olympics or Judge or
Aaron Judge, soccer, tournaments, you know.
Soccer tournaments, I probably can't add too much to. But, yeah.
Dogs.
We can figure out something to talk about.
Here's what's happening with my dog. So
what's that?
Still a puppy, like eight or 9 months old. And, you know, we do our best. Two kids. We've had guests over for the last few days. Do our best to keep everything off the floor. But she just will find anything that's on the floor. And we learn, you know, like, don't chase her because you're giving value to the toilet paper in her mouth or the pen or whatever it is. But you also don't want her to she's basically, you know, in a sense, cleaning the floors for us. And we just walk around basically having given up with a handful of blueberries. All right, here, you win again. I want the toilet paper. I want the pen. You know, I want the napkins. I want the hand towel. Here's another blueberry. Thank you for your service. All right, all right, all right. But, you know, things are getting picked up. Then today we're out on the deck, and there's just all this, you know, leaves and ants and sticks and all this, and she's just playing the same game. So in a sense, she's kind of cleaning things up for us.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Oh, so cool. Appreciate it. I started paying her.
And I never do this, but I have to do this now. I do have to run because I have to get ready for some Zooms.
Thanks for your time. Happy 4th. Thanks.
Have a good 4th. Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline, summing things up, development camp, the week so far for the Sabres. He's been on with me each of the last 2 days as well. Check all that out on the Odyssey app and his articles at WGR550.com. Also, Paul's reports on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Okay, Brett Boone coming up. First Wednesday of the month, we talk baseball. Great time to do that. 4th of July, you have the Memorial Day signpost in the baseball season. Now you're kind of like the unofficial midpoint here tomorrow. So we'll catch up with Brett after this break. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be here. But all the picks they just made, a lot of the picks from last year, not Benson, not Wahlberg, but after that, a lot of picks from last year are here. Topias Lininen, the goaltender, I had a chance to chat with him today. He was the second round pick, has been hurt a lot. Nuchev from that draft in 2022, Richard from 2022, Carlson, they're here. So it's just basically guys from the last three drafts.
Okay, well, I'm off tomorrow. And assuming, well, maybe there will be a move, but as it goes dark here for the Sabres coming up, as you put it, I don't know, we'll just have to call you to talk about the Olympics or something over the next couple of months. We'll have to get some takes, Paul takes. That'd be all right?
the Olympics or Judge or...
Aaron Judge, soccer tournaments, you know.
Soccer tournaments, I probably can't add too much to. But yeah.
Dogs.
We can figure out something to talk about.
Here's what's happening with my dog. So
what's that?
Still a puppy, like eight or 9 months old. And, you know, we do our best. Two kids. We've had guests over for the last few days. Do our best to keep everything off the floor. But she just will find anything that's on the floor. And we learn, you know, like, don't chase her because you're giving value to the toilet paper in her mouth or the pen or whatever it is. But you also don't want her to she's basically, you know, in a sense, cleaning the floors for us. And we just walk around basically having given up with a handful of blueberries. All right. Here, you win again. I want the toilet paper. I want the pen. You know, I want the napkins. I want the hand towel. Here's another blueberry. Thank you for your service. All right, all right, all right. But, you know, things are getting picked up. Then today we're out on the deck and there's just all this, you know, leaves and ants and sticks and all this. And she's just playing the same game. So in a sense, she's kind of cleaning things up for us.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Oh, so cool. Appreciate it. I started paying her.
And I never do this, but I have to do this now. I do have to run because I have to get ready for some Zooms.
Thanks for your time. Happy 4th.
Thanks. Have a good 4th. Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the West Herr Hotline, summing things up, development camp, the week so far for the Sabres. He's been on with me each of the last 2 days as well. Check all that out on the Odyssey app and his articles at WGR550.com. Also, Paul's reports on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Okay, Brett Boone coming up. First Wednesday of the month, we talk baseball. Great time to do that. 4th of July, you have the Memorial Day signpost in the baseball season. Now you're kind of like the unofficial midpoint here tomorrow. So we'll catch up with Brett after this break. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.